Welcome to the Dr. Martin Glowacki radio show with Dr. Martin Glowacki, MD, board certified anesthesiologist and fellowship trained pain specialist. Tonight's show is brought to you by Martin Glowacki, MD. I'm your host, Anne-Marie Cronin, and tonight we have a very special show for you as Dr. Martin Glowacki talks to those of you who are suffering from chronic or debilitating pain. Dr. Glowacki has dedicated his career to finding solutions for even the most difficult and challenging cases of patients crippled by the effects and ramifications of chronic pain. He will be discussing treatment options, including how to avoid opioid dependency. And we'll also be talking about the latest hot topic in pain management, stem cell therapy. What is it? What are stem cells and how do they work in the medical arena of alleviating pain? What you need to know about stem cell therapy before you buy. You're listening to News Talk WJR. We'll be right back after this message. Welcome to a special edition of the Dr. Martin Glowacki MD radio show. I'm your host, Anne-Marie Cronin, and we're talking this evening with Dr. Martin Glowacki about how patients suffering from chronic and debilitating pain can find hope and alleviate their pain altogether. Whether you're a migraine sufferer, post-surgical or trauma patient, Dr. Glowacki is discussing solutions through highly specialized and individual treatments, as well as educating us on stem cell treatments and the latest state-of-the-art therapies. Now, Dr. Glowacki, welcome to the show, and I'm sure many of the WJR listeners are interested in hearing about your specialty, pain management. Let's start by asking you, what exactly is pain management? And please tell us about your background, training, and expertise in this field. Obviously, we know you're an MD and a board-certified anesthesiologist, but please take it from there and explain.
Thanks, Anne-Marie. I'd like to thank our listeners tonight, and welcome. I look forward to shedding some light on pain management. Training. I mean, I took a couple online courses and figured I could throw some needles into people, and off it went. You don't want to see the first few. But now I'm getting good at it.
But on the serious side, okay.
All jokes aside, pain management, that's a complicated question. I think this day and age when most people say, what do you do when I say pain management, the first thing that comes into their mind is what's on the news. Pill mill. He runs a pill mill. He's pushing drugs. He's pushing narcotics. Isn't there a crisis right now? These are the guys we need to stop. Well, I mean, certainly part of that is true, but that is not what a trained board-certified pain management specialist does. After undergrad and receiving a biochemistry degree at University of Michigan, I went to medical school for 4 years. After medical school, I went to Henry Ford Hospital where I did my anesthesiology residency, and subsequently at Henry Ford Hospital, that's where I did my pain fellowship, where I learned the management of pain, various techniques, interventional procedures, medication management, palliative care, neuropsychology, and even a bit of radiology. A little bit of everything to really diagnose, manage patients, treat their significant disease processes. Very few, if any, of those patients really need narcotic management. Certainly some do. Most of them are treated through other measures. Some even move on to things like surgery. But that's kind of my job, is to identify the patient, see what they've had done, see what their problem is, and then come up with an appropriate treatment plan.
Now, one question I have for you is, obviously you started off and did a full residency in anesthesiology. There was a reason why you obviously wanted to go into pain management, this super sophisticated specialty. Tell us why you decided to opt into pain management.
I loved anesthesiology. Technical. It's difficult at times, some incredible cases, you really help people out. The problem I had is very non-personal. You had no patient interaction. I said good morning and then took them to the operating room. They went to sleep and I would wake them up. They would go to the recovery area, never to know my name or see me or follow up with me, see how they were doing. With what I do currently, I get that patient interaction. I see them, we meet, I go through the plan, I get to follow up with them, we get to interact, we get to really go through the whole process of helping them out. And so there's a lot more self-satisfaction in your job and what you're doing, and you see the outcomes. With anesthesiology, I would just move on to the next case.
Well, a lot of patients are discharged from surgery or from their primary care doctor still suffering pain. When does pain management kick in, and how long should patients be depending on narcotics? Let's say they have surgery, or they've had an accident, or they've been in a traumatic situation. Their doctor gives them a prescription for pain management narcotics. When should they move on to a specialist like you?
Wow, that's a pretty loaded question. which part do I start with first? All right, with the post-surgical patients, typically I would say that you have about a 90-day window of healing. After 90 days, most of the narcotic management of a post-surgical patient should go away. And if it doesn't, if patients continue to have pain, that's where they should probably be sent to a specialist like myself. Not all patients are just post-surgical patients. Some patients come in with just chronic pain. They've had arthritis forever. They have a bad knee. Their back is hurting them. They have a headache. Those are the folks that typically have been started on a pain medication by their doctor. It's not helping them. They're seeking other avenues. And that's when they come and see me. Those people, and I've seen plenty of patients, they've been treated for 10, 15, 20 years. And they come and see me, and I talk to them, and I say, what are we treating right now? We're treating a symptom. We're treating pain. What's the underlying condition? What can we fix? Is it arthritis? Is it a disc herniation? Is it knee pain? What are we dealing with outside of just pain and giving them medications? So that's kind of my startup. That's my goal, is to first figure out what is the problem and what do we need to treat before saying, hey, this is the person that needs to be on an opioid medication.
And there's now a restriction on the number of pills an AMD can write now. I guess as of June, that's been cut way back. So they can't just continually be going from doctor to doctor and getting narcotic medication, right?
I think the current medicine and the current research shows that long-term narcotics are actually not good for you. And I think that the CDC recommendations that came out have been helpful in guiding therapy for most physicians. Things that pain management, board-certified pain management physicians knew already.
Right. So that they're now going to be pushed, patients are going to be pushed to find solutions then, is what you're saying?
Yes.
Okay, well, we're going to have to take a quick break, but we'll be right back. We're listening to Dr. Martin Glowacki, MD, talking about pain management and what you need to know about the latest state-of-the-art therapies for those suffering from debilitating or chronic pain. Dr. Glowacki is discussing how to treat pain without depending on drugs, and he'll also be explaining what you need to know about the hot topic of stem cell therapy. You're listening to the Dr. Martin Glowacki, MD, radio show on News Talk 760 WJR. Welcome back to the Dr. Martin Glowacki, MD, radio show. I'm your host, Anne-Marie Cronin, and we're talking this evening with Dr. Martin Glowacki about how patients suffering from chronic and debilitating pain can find hope and alleviate their pain altogether. Whether you're a migraine sufferer, post-surgical or trauma patient, Dr. Glowacki is discussing solutions through highly specialized and individualized treatments, as well as educating us on stem cell treatments and the latest state-of-the-art therapies. Now, Dr. Glowacki, let's pick it up from the last segment. What sorts of patients do you see in your practice? What kinds of conditions do you treat? And give us an example of some of the patients you treat.
So if we go strictly by literature, 70% of people that go into the ER with pain present with low back pain. When we look at the therapies that are offered, the recommendations are that we treat that pain conservatively. Most people will get some anti-inflammatories, maybe a pain medication. We'll tell it to ice it, take it easy. And 70% of that pain goes away on its own. The next 20%, when the pain doesn't go away after 3 to 4 weeks, see a physical therapist, maybe undergo a series of treatments, or a physician like myself where we do some interventions, some procedures. And the last 10% may have to move on to the surgeon. The typical patient that I see is somebody, you know, that has had low-grade to moderate-level pain for a good part of their life. It's now affecting the way they play golf, the way they travel, their job. They come in, and they look okay. They're comfortable. Those people we can fix pretty easily. The patients that come in, they're in agony. They're writhing in pain. They're just begging to have their leg ripped open and just to relieve the pain. Those people, I say, you're probably going to have to see a surgeon. But I would say that majority of the patients we see, again, 70% are related to spine, low back pain. That's the most common.
And what about, I mean, obviously there are spine surgeons out there, and there are a lot of people who are getting recommendations that they need to go, they go directly from primary care, they're sent off to see a spine surgeon, may wind up going into surgery. Should they stop by you first of all for a, you know, second evaluation?
Yes, but, you know, I think that's historical. I think it's changing now. I think what used to be is that from primary care, jump to surgery, and the practice of pain management per se was so new that a lot of the primary care physicians didn't even know what we offered. Or maybe they thought, oh, this guy only does opioids, narcotic medications. So now, since there are more and more pain management physicians, primary care physicians are a little bit more knowledgeable, and they send patients to see me for interventions, or they will send them to physical therapy initially before they say, hey, it's time to go and see a surgeon. Unless it really is a case, they get an MRI and they see a patient that has a very large herniated disc, they're in agonizing pain, they need to go to the ER, then they may advance them to a surgeon a little bit quicker. But nowadays, I find that most primary care physicians will know what to do and send us the patients in an appropriate kind of a stepwise fashion.
So they're more savvy, and this has become more of a well-known specialty than pain management, right?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I think that most people recognize that what we do are treating patients that have now had some sort of pain. They're maybe not quite ready for surgery, or we want to try everything short of surgery, so they send them to somebody like myself. And they may have already done their course of physical therapy. A lot of patients that come and see me said, hey, I did 6 weeks of physical therapy. It's really not helping. I still have this pain. My golf game is suffering. Or now I need to go down to Florida because it's November and I want to get out of that Michigan cold. And they still have pain. They don't want to do that drive. And they come and see us, and we're able to take care of that.
Now, a lot of the listeners out there obviously are migraine sufferers, and I think that a lot of people that have migraine headaches on a consistent basis just think that they will, you know, swallow a pill, take an aspirin, or take something stronger than that. And I don't think a lot of listeners are aware of the fact that they should be going to see someone like yourself, because you have a lot of success with treating migraines. Can you talk to us a little bit about that?
It's actually funny you say that, because today I had a friend who called me and said, I just met a young lady who had this auto accident years ago, 15 years ago, and has these chronic migraine headaches. And she's seen her doctor, was sent to multiple neurologists, placed on a whole bunch of different medications that make her nauseated, sleepy, just can't function. The headaches continue. And lo and behold, it's originating from the neck. And I told my friend, this is a slam dunk. We got this person covered easily. You know, not all migraines are migraines. But I think people that get a severe headache call it a migraine, but that's not the real classification of a migraine. Headaches can come from anywhere in the neck on up. So it could be in the neck, it could be in the jaw, it could be in the back of the head, in the occipital region. It's not necessarily a migraine. And for those that have been seeing a neurologist or have seen their primary care physician, started on migraine medications that aren't working, that's when they should come and see me, because there may be something other at play. And quite often it's easily fixable and they don't even have to be on any medications.
That's fabulous. That's good news for all the migraine sufferers out there. Also, you like to specialize in extremely difficult cases. Can you give us an example?
I don't like the extremely difficult cases.
You'd like to take them on.
Yeah, well, all right. I like the easy cases, but I look forward to the challenge of the complex cases. I look forward when somebody says, I went to University of Michigan and Cleveland Clinic and Johns Hopkins and this and that, and nobody's been able to help me. I kind of take that on as a challenge. I like it, because maybe by looking at them and just wiping the slate clean, starting from the very beginning, going through what has been done, eliminating some things, I can get a better and clearer understanding of what has happened. And in a lot of those cases, I'm able to help those people out, which is very gratifying and changes their life. I mean, I've had some patients that come in and They've been everywhere. Severe injuries. They've seen a lot of other physicians, and they've gone to other places, and they were told, no, this is all you can have. These are, now you need to be on narcotics. You need to be on pain. You need to find a pain management specialist. And they fall into that trap where it's just constant pill after pill after pill, and they come and see me, and we say, well, maybe I can't get rid of all of your pain, but maybe I could get rid of 80 or 90%. And when we do, I mean, it changes their life. They're able to continue work. They're able to continue play. Their family members say, oh, my God, you're like a new person. That's pretty satisfying.
And you've had some really interesting cases where people have literally given up hope and then have, you know, as you said, come to you at the end of the day, and you're their last stop, their last hope. And one in particular I know we spoke about on the break, where he was injured at work, and eventually you were able to help him, and I think he's still coming to you.
Yeah. The particular individual you're referring to had a high-pressure water line burst his chest open and blow away his shoulder. He had massive reconstructive surgeries, massive nerve damage, and constant shoulder pain. When I first saw him, this was actually the first year I think I opened up my practice. He was one of the first people I saw. He told me he went everywhere, and he just, you know, he saw my name. He said, younger guy, what the heck? I'll give it a shot. He came in and see me, and, you know, we were able to reduce his narcotic medication by probably 80 or 90% and did a couple other procedures for his shoulder, which, again, don't take away 100% of his pain, but he was able to manage to work and resume work for another 5 to 7 years before retiring. So, I mean, extraordinarily well. And then, you know, I see him, I would say every 5-6 months maybe, do a little tune-up, and off he goes. He's living up north. He's fishing. He's retired. He's loving life. So, you know, those are the kind of people that I really enjoy helping. I find a lot of gratification, and to just return them to their normal life is amazing.
Now, in this particular patient's case and situation, he's actually, this was a number of years ago you saw this patient, and you're still in touch with him, he's still coming to you, and he's still pain-free.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, again, a lot of the stuff I do isn't going to make you 18 again. It becomes more of a management part of it.
Okay. Well, we're going to have to take a quick break, but we'll be right back listening to Dr. Martin Glowacki, MD, talking about pain management and what you need to know about the latest state-of-the-art therapies for those suffering from debilitating or chronic pain. Dr. Glowacki is discussing how to treat pain without depending on drugs, and he'll also be explaining what you need to know about the hot topic of stem cell therapy. You're listening to the Dr. Martin Glowacki, MD, radio show on News Talk 760 WJR. Welcome back to the Dr. Martin Glowacki, MD, radio show. I'm your host, Anne-Marie Cronin, and we're talking this evening with Dr. Martin Glowacki about how patients suffering from chronic and debilitating pain can find hope and alleviate their pain altogether. Whether you're a migraine sufferer, post-surgical or trauma patient, Dr. Glowacki is discussing solutions through highly specialized and individualized treatments, as well as educating us on stem cell treatments and the latest state-of-the-art therapies. Now, Dr. Glowacki, please tell us what you do for patients who come in presenting with arthritis. Where do you take them from there when they walk in the door?
So, like we discussed a little bit earlier, one of the most common presenting complaints is low back pain. People say it's, you know, that chronic aching, wake up in the morning, stiff pain, takes them a while to get up and get moving. And then, depending on the activity that they perform, you know, it could be worse, it could be better, they have good days, bad days. When they come and see me, one of the things we'll take a look at is, obviously, if they have an MRI. If they don't, order one, because the last thing we want to do is assume something is going on but not have a clear picture. So we get an MRI, we do a physical exam, but a lot of times, somebody that comes in that's 65, 70, 80 years old will obviously have arthritis. They will have disc degeneration. They will have spinal stenosis, the narrowing of the spinal canal. They will have all that to different degrees at different levels. Some will have more mild, moderate, and some severe. So everybody has that degree, and it's my job to figure out what part of that is causing their pain. Is it a disc problem? Is it an arthritis problem? Is it their hip joints? Is it their sacroiliac joints? So doing an exam, looking at the MRI, and then talking to the patient about the degree of their pain. Is it, you know, typical sciatica, the pain shooting down electrical lightning bolts down their leg? Or is it just chronic low back arthritic pain? And I'm a pretty simple guy. I like to look at it from a very easy perspective of it could be this, it could be that, it could be this, and formulate basically a list of potential areas that can cause pain. And then we go down the list. We say, hey, I think it's this. And one of the procedures that I like using is I like doing my friend lidocaine or Novocaine, what typically dentists use. It's a numbing agent. We put a numbing agent in an area that I think is causing pain and see whether it relieves pain. If it does, then we found our spot. If it doesn't, I can cross that one off the list and move on. So a lot of times for spinal arthritis pain, that chronic achy stiffness in the low back, we will numb up under a live x-ray. We use a live x-ray for all our procedures, so there's no guesswork where we're going, what we're doing. It's sterile technique. It's a safe procedure. We use local anesthetic to freeze up a couple spots and see what kind of short-term relief patients get. If they obtain great short-term relief with the local anesthetic, then we proceed to a procedure that's called radiofrequency ablation. And what that is we use a specialized needle that we place on some of the arthritic joints and actually send a signal to the tip of the needle that destroys pain fibers in the arthritic joint for an average of 12 months. And even though I tell patients, I can't make you 18 again, I can't reverse your arthritis or stop it, I can get rid of these little pain fibers in those arthritic joints for an average of 12 months, at which point patients return, we kind of re-zap them again, takes, I don't know, 10, 15 minutes to do the procedure, and they go off enjoying their life, playing golf, traveling, whatever they want to do, you know, work. It depends. Some people come in earlier parts of their life, 30, 40. Some others don't come in until they're 80. So it just depends on the individual, their genetic makeup, and, you know, other things that have occurred in their life. But that's kind of the typical arthritic patient. First, figure out what our list is of potential offending problems, then go down that list, a lot of times using a local anesthetic, and then finally treating something for a longer period of time. And to tell you the truth, honestly, a lot of surgeons will send me patients and say, hey, check this guy out. He's got hip arthritis. He's got stuff going on in his back. I want you to kind of shoot up both spots and see where the pain is coming from. Because the last thing they want to do is replace a hip when it's all coming from their back, or vice versa, say, hey, you need back surgery, and it was hip pain. So a lot of times they'll send me patients to perform diagnostic procedures before deciding on the surgical course of action.
Now, is arthritis like a systemic situation, or is it particular to one joint? Can you have it in your shoulder or have it in your hip, or is it something, if you have arthritis, is going to show up all over?
I mean, it's just the process of aging, you know, just like wrinkles. We get them a little bit here, a little bit there. By the time a few more decades go through, we have them all over the place. And arthritis is the same. This is osteoarthritis, which is wear and tear, age arthritis, as opposed to like rheumatoid arthritis, which is, you know, autoimmune. So the wear and tear arthritis, yeah, it's age related, and it's people, you know, that have worked a long time, and it's one of those things that we all have it probably by the time we're 70, 80 to a degree, some more, some less.
Now, the hot topic out nowadays in treatment of pain is obviously stem cell therapy, which hardly anybody understands. And I want to address this with you because I've actually gone to a lot of seminars that have been offered online to find out just what is stem cell therapy and how is it used to treat specific pain in, let's say, for example, the knees. How do we know that we're going to the right person for the right procedure and getting the right treatment? Tell us a little bit about what you know about stem cell therapy and what we need to know.
Most people don't. This is a hot topic. I'm glad you asked that question because it's one of those that has really been irritating me to a good degree over the past year or two. I've had, over the past, like I said, year or two, have patients come in and tell me, oh, I saw so-and-so and they did stem cells for me, and I spent $5,000, $8,000, $10,000 for this therapy. And I looked into it, and I looked at who was doing it, and I did a lot of research, went to a lot of different symposiums, went to a lot of conferences, and compiled a ton of latest research articles. So I'm pretty well-versed on the stem cell part, and It is the wild, wild west of medicine. You get all kinds. I mean, you have the snake oil salesman, and then you have the very reputable people doing it through the FDA-approved techniques. And I don't think the general public knows who does what. I mean, they're bombarded on Google. They're bombarded on Facebook with ads. Come to see me. We do stem cells. We do this. We do that. Stem cell this, stem cell that. They go to these seminars, and it's not even a medical doctor doing the seminar. Well, it's a non-physician, somebody that cannot prescribe medication that's offering you a medical treatment that they bring in some kind of a physician's assistant, a nurse, or somebody to just shoot you. And there's cases, I've read journal and cases of people that said bend over, and they said they shoot stem cell preparation into the butt cheek, which won't do anything to anybody other than alleviate their wallet full of money.
Right. Good point.
I think that, you know, it's unfortunate. I think that a lot of patients out there are looking for something, and stem cells are this new miracle, this new cutting edge. And if I say stem cells but give you sugar water, you're still going to get into it because you see it. And it's just, it's unfortunate. But, and we may have to get to this topic after the break, but the bottom line is stem cells are cells in our body that can become anything. They're kind of the building blocks of tissue. There are different ones. There are the mesenchymal stem cells, which we have in our current tissues, the adult kind of stem cells. And then there are the embryonic stem cells, which are not FDA approved, and those come from the forming embryo, which we cannot do anything with. So those stem cells have now been used and concentrated to in order to heal certain tissues, heal cartilage in a knee, heal disc tissue in the spine. And there's a lot of ongoing research. We still don't have it. It's so new. The problem is people are using it haphazardly, and they're just given what are quote-unquote stem cells, even though they're not, to patients all over the place. And we'll get into that a little bit more after the break, like I said. But
well, I wanted to just say quickly, because a lot of patients out there are hearing umbilical cord, embryonic, your own stem cells. They don't even know where the stem cells are coming from. And I think that that's where a lot of the confusion is, much less the fear of who is treating us and who's giving us the, you know, who's actually performing the stem cell therapy and giving the shots. But we're going to have to pick this up on the other side of the break. We'll be right back listening to Dr. Martin Glowacki, MD, talking about pain management and what you need to know about the latest state-of-the-art therapies for those suffering from debilitating or chronic pain. Dr. Glowacki is discussing how to treat pain without depending on drugs, and he'll also be explaining what you need to know about the hot topic of stem cell therapy. You're listening to the Dr. Martin Glowacki, MD, radio show on News Talk 760 WJR. Welcome back to the Dr. Martin Glowacki, MD, radio show. I'm your host, Anne-Marie Cronin, and we're talking this evening with Dr. Martin Glowacki about how patients suffering from chronic and debilitating pain can find hope and alleviate their pain altogether. Whether you're a migraine sufferer, post-surgical, or trauma patient, Dr. Glowacki is discussing solutions through highly specialized and individual treatments, as well as educating us on stem cell treatments and the latest state-of-the-art therapies. Now, Dr. Glowacki, before we went to break, you just started telling us everything we're going to need to know about stem cell therapy. Do you want to pick up where you left off and tell us what we need to know?
Oh, yeah. This is a big topic. But where we left off, we talked about the different stem cells, where they come from. And I think it's best to start with what the Food and Drug Administration, the FDA, has approved as far as stem cells, as far as the current research goes and what they feel comfortable with doing. So the current FDA guidelines say that the stem cells that are obtained for patient care, whatever that may be, undergo minimal manipulation, meaning they're not grown in a petri dish, they're not expanded upon, added to, they're minimally manipulated. You take them out, you put them back in. Also, that they are used in a short period of time. Research has recently been done, and they've taken out stem cells from every tissue, from muscle, bone marrow, fat, amniotic fluid, umbilical cord. They've taken all these stem cells out and put them in these dishes outside of the human body and see how long they're active. And the average activity level for these cells was 7 to 10 days. So if that cell is taken out of the umbilical cord and kept in a company that's preserving it, freezing it, and then sending it, shipping it to a physician, it's more than 7 days, that cell is no longer active, meaning that is no longer a stem cell.
Now, before you continue, one quick question. So let me understand. Stem cells are made, manufactured in the patient's own bone marrow. Am I right?
Yes. Not just bone marrow, also in muscle, also in skin, also in fat. But the easiest place to extract them in an adult is the bone marrow. That's where you get the largest quantity. And you could do it through fat, but now it becomes manipulating. That's where the FDA does not like it and does not approve of fat-derived stem cells. So the only ones that the FDA approves of are stem cells derived from bone marrow. And up to even recently, you saw advertisements, stem cell therapy, stem cell therapy. For those places that use amniotic or umbilical cord-derived stem cells, the FDA does not allow the marketing of stem cells. You cannot call it stem cells. They are basically devoid of any stem cells. So a lot of places got a little bit smart, and they call it regenerative cell therapy. Basically, the mixture that the patient is getting has some growth factors, has some other things in it, which makes it kind of anti-inflammatory. It may help with some healing of tissue, but there is absolutely no regeneration of tissue. There are no stem cells in there. And that's been shown through extensive research, and that's what the FDA guidelines report as well. And I will add this, that if patients go and look up the most prestigious orthopedic centers across the country, they look at the research done at Hopkins, at Harvard, at Mayo Clinic, at Cleveland Clinic, those places are basing their therapeutic research on bone marrow-derived stem cells. So bone marrow-derived, meaning you have to do a bone marrow aspiration. That's where the big scare tactic comes in from a lot of these folks that are trying to basically sell patients on stem cells. Oh, you don't want the bone marrow one. God forbid, that's the worst pain in the world, humane pain. I tell my patients, I'm an anesthesiologist. I think I got you covered with the pain part during any procedure. And what we do for our patients, what I do for my patients that we do this procedure for, is we give them an IV. We get them sedated. I use plenty of local anesthetic. I do these procedures all day, every day, thousands upon thousands of procedures I've done. So I know how to really local anesthetize a patient, give them sedation for the procedure, and the bone marrow aspiration is no different than getting a tetanus shot. The next day, they may have a little discomfort, or the next 2 days, I tell them to ice it, take some Motrin. That's about it. Otherwise, there's nothing. That procedure is fairly painless.
And one quick question. So when you aspirate the bone marrow, the stem cells from bone marrow, are you doing this all in one procedure that you're re-injecting it into the site?
So, yes. Once again, I follow the FDA guidelines, minimal manipulation, meaning we just suck them out. We put them in a centrifuge that spins them and concentrates them, and about 15, 20 minutes later, we put them in the spot that needs it, whether it's the discs of the spine or the arthritic joints of the spine or an arthritic knee or hip or shoulder. And again, we use it at the point of care, meaning it's not donated. It comes from that individual. And the other part is it comes from bone marrow, the only FDA-approved source of adult stem cells. So multiple articles that are out there, multiple literature and multiple centers show that there is promise in these therapies as long as they are following the FDA guidelines. Now, promise, it's still early science. So what we've noticed is that the majority of people that do well with these therapies have mild to moderate degenerative changes. If you can imagine that I want to regrow cartilage, but somebody is bone on bone, there's no cartilage to regrow. It's just bone. Stem cells aren't going to work. I tell people, you might as well drive by my clinic and just throw money out the window. At that point, it's not going to do anything for you. I have plenty of patients that have mild to moderate degenerative changes to their spine or their knee. They're not quite ready for surgery. They undergo this procedure, and they do extremely well. So there is promise. The research that's out there has shown that there's promise. But there's nothing given. It is a bit of a crapshoot, and so it becomes a financial decision for patients. And I always tell my patients, hey, if you're Oprah Winfrey, do it. You know, the thousands of dollars you're spending are like a nickel. For those that say, oh, doc, I need to save, this is a lot of money, I say, don't do it. Don't waste your money. Right now, we just don't have all the info yet. It's experimental. We don't know what the outcome is. Again, it's somewhere around 70% success rates in those with mild to moderate degenerative changes. But again, that's based on small studies, small samples of 50 to 100 patients. We don't have a study that shows 50,000 patients followed over the last 10 years after receiving stem cells into their discs. We do see follow-up MRIs where the disc, the herniated discs, the herniations go away. The discs become more hydrated, meaning there's more water, more jelly in them. And actually, one of the research studies that I just recently read shows that the bone marrow-derived stem cells are the most similar to inside of the spinal disc material. And so that's why they do so well in that regard.
And one thing I just want to interject, because it's not covered by any insurance right now, let the buyer beware. So they need to be very careful, patients, that they see a qualified pain specialist like yourself.
A pain specialist, yeah, a pain specialist, an orthopedic surgeon, there's different people. But please see somebody that is doing it appropriately in an operating room setting. They're the physician that's performing it. It's derived from bone marrow. Those are the people that are doing it right. And one of the other things that, people ask me is age. Well, I've been told that I'm too old. The most recent studies show that there is really no difference in patients up to 80 years old. So that's a whole lot of people out there. Now, after 80 to 85, there may be a decrease in quantity, not quality, of the stem cells.
So worth looking into, and they should give you a call. Patients who are considering it need to beware and make sure they get the right procedure done by the right physician. Well, we're out of time tonight, and that wraps it up for the Dr. Martin Glowacki MD radio show on News Talk 760 WJR, brought to you by Dr. Martin Glowacki MD. I'm Anne-Marie Cronin, and again, I want to thank Dr. Glowacki for talking to us and explaining how patients suffering from chronic and debilitating pain can find hope and become pain-free through exploring individualized treatment programs, including stem cell therapy, that are now available to help patients reclaim their lives. For more information on this evening's show, you can contact Dr. Glowacki by calling 248-813-0060 or by visiting him online at glowackimd.com. Again, that's glowackimd.com. Thank you for listening, and we hope that anyone you know suffering from chronic pain is enlightened by the information on tonight's show and that you'll take steps to become pain-free. Good night and be well.